listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura on a Call Your Shot Friday edition of CBD, 216-578-0850 to join us. And you tweet us at Browns underscore daily or at our respective handles at VICCARUCCI at NATHANZEGURA. At the bottom of this hour, we're going to hear from Gerard Cherry. He's going to make his regular visit to the show. Right now, though, and I got my iPhone in hand, I'm sending up a text to the great big wrestling ring in the sky. This is a segment we like to call Bringing Macho Man Back from the Dead, and he has been, well, he's been 100% in responding to these texts. So I'm sending a text up right now inviting Randy Macho Man Savage, the late great Randy Macho Man Savage, to come back from the dead and do a segment for us because it's Call Your Shot Friday. The text has been sent. And the reply is,
Notorious B.I.C. It's always good to get a text from you. Yeah, I got to tell you, I'm looking down at the dog bone, Maria. It's a lot better looking now that Carly's in there with you guys. Thank goodness, because it was getting a little out of control. Speaking of out of control, yeah, the Baltimore Ravens struggling to run the football. Yeah, like that, I think the Browns lock them down. And Josh Gordon, all 8 of his touchdowns. I'm doing a little stat research up here in the big ring in the sky.
You really are, yeah.
20 or more yards. I like the guys who can hit the big play. That's why I have to climb to the
good
top of the rope.
Up there.
I like to hit the big elbow. Yeah, make the crowd come alive. Yeah, and that's what Flash Gordon can do. He's flashy like the Macho Man, and the Macho Man digs it. I like to give him a sequin robe, yeah, when he's running past them. So he's shining like the star that he is, shining like the Macho Man. He is Flash Gordon, yeah. I think this is a team coming together, yeah, like when me and Miss Elizabeth came together, and it was magic. Yeah, it's exactly what it was, and we're going to see the Ravens come here. Ooh, you think you can beat me? You think you're better? Yeah, a lot of people said that about the Macho Man. Ask Ricky Steamboat and Chico Santana. They both found out the hard way that you don't call out the Macho Man just like the Ravens. You don't call out the Browns. Your streak is over. Yeah, enjoy it. I hope you liked it while it lasted, because the Browns win 23-17. Macho Man out. Yeah! Dig it!
Macho, thank you so much. We love these segments. And again, this is a rare thing, folks. How many radio shows do you listen to where they bring somebody back from the dead to join you? It doesn't happen very often.
And how about him getting into some stats, the Macho Man?
Clearly, you influenced them. I mean, you're all about the numbers.
That's a career-defining moment for me if I've influenced the Macho Man.
He married up with all the I'm surprised because I didn't think he was was he that big of a numbers guy as a wrestler?
You know,
though?
He is. He was always very meticulous. That's what they always talk about. He's a meticulous guy, you know, and he was a baseball player as well, so maybe he's into saber metrics before it's time, but detail oriented. He's a detail oriented guy.
All right. Well, I'm very happy about that. Anyway, the Macho Man on board with us as well on a Call Your Shot Friday.
Think we've ever gone wrong when me, you, and the Macho agree.
No. And again, I don't want to overdo my request for him because he's a busy guy up there in the ring. But when he comes
down,
shout
out to Carly from the Macho Man.
I was going to say that's another thing too that he's watching down on her as well. Carly McCord, who is part of our show, part of our organization, she does the tweeting during the show. Just to explain, she's in here helping us out a couple days a week. We also have Megan Rock. They alternate helping us out and they do tweets. And she is putting together what you'll have posted tonight, the Browns Daily Wrap. Make sure you check that on ClevelandBrowns.com.
I might have to cry for a second, though.
Yes.
I might have to cry.
Uh-oh.
She's not quite familiar. Not as familiar as maybe she should be with the Macho Man. This is what the Macho Man's doing upstairs right now, if you can see this.
Well, it's a generational thing.
There he is. There's the Macho Man up in heaven, dropping the elbow.
Okay. That's cool.
I like that right there.
I love that.
Dropping the elbow up in heaven, the Macho Man.
You should make that your screensaver.
That should be my Twitter avatar. Yeah,
Avi. All right, let's go to Chris is back with us, I believe, in Medina. Chris.
Boy, if that didn't take me back, I was waiting for Mean Gene Okerlund to send it back to you guys. That was a great thing. But like I was telling your call screener, I had the opportunity. I go 6'2", 240 pounds, and I had the opportunity to stand next to Phil Taylor. And my wife told me that I looked like a little boy.
He's a big man. He's a mahunker.
I would not want to be Ray Rice. Forget it. I think he's
and you know, one of the things that they talked about, he brings up a very good point, especially given the Spitgate incident between the two of them. But, you know, I read Ray Horton was talking about getting Phil Taylor more aggressive and vertical up the field, disruptive in the middle of the line, and he felt that he did a great job of that in the second half because what it does is it takes away the ability for the quarterback to step up in the pocket in passing situations. And when you can blow the point of attack back into the line, it stops running plays automatically. So if he can continue to do that and get vertical, I think this is a very good thing. And Phil Taylor really has been a revelation in this 3-4. I think made to be this kind of a nose tackle.
And if he's got a little something extra for Ray Rice, wonderful. At the minimum, that's great. At the maximum, though, what I want to see from Phil Taylor is just the consistency. I want to see this guy who played in the second half of that game, because like a lot of other Browns players, not doing nearly enough. Remember, when you're playing zone, when you're backing off people and creating all that room that the Chiefs exploited last week, your people up front have to be doing something. They got to cave in the pocket. They got to generate some pressure. That started to happen in the second half of
right.
that game. So Phil Taylor and company need to be factors right away. And Phil can control the line of scrimmage, or at least maybe not single-handedly, but he can do a lot of things that can open up areas, tie up enough blockers, open up areas for Desmond Bryant, for Paul Kruger, for Jabal Sheard to do what they need to do.
And think about it schematically. When you have great speed rushers off the edge like the Browns do when they get Mingo in there along with Sheard and Kruger, the escape for a quarterback is to step up in the pocket, to guide those guys outside higher than they intend to be, and the quarterback has the ability to step up. Well, if those guys are on the outside and Phil Taylor's pushing it up the middle, there's nowhere for the quarterback to go when the pocket collapses. That's what the Browns need to do to Joe Flacco, because let's be honest, he hasn't had that much time to work with Jacoby Ford. Marlon Brown's been in and out with injuries. He doesn't have the tight end that he counted on. Dallas Clark well past his prime. So there are going to be situations where he may hold onto the ball a second or longer than he anticipated, and that's where the Browns can get that pass rush, collapse that pocket, and take Joe Flacco to the ground. Yeah.
I have a question for you. Do you want to win lunch? Well, you can't. You're not eligible. But if you were eligible, do you want
to
win lunch for you and a friend with a Browns alumni? You wouldn't want that. Who wouldn't want that? Head to your local Cleveland area Arby's today to find out how to enter. Arby's Slicing Up Freshness. Vince in Northfield with us now. Hey, Vince. Oh, Vince dropped. Any other callers there, young Mr. DiNatale?
No, but I have tweets.
Tweet us.
You know, obviously we'll get to more here later, but we've had so many shot callers here so far. I want to run through a few of them here with you guys. All right. From Mr. B, Browns 17, Ravens 13. That is my shot.
I like that. I think that it does have the potential to be a low-scoring game. We know that the Baltimore Ravens have only allowed 5 offensive touchdowns in their last 5 games. The Browns defense showed what it can do when it steps up like it did in the second half of that game against the Kansas City Chiefs. So I like 17-13. Listen, they held the Cincinnati Bengals to 6 points at First Energy Stadium. 6 points. This is a defense that can shut people down. They just need to do it for 60 minutes, and this is a game they feasibly could keep the Baltimore Ravens out of the end zone.
Sure they could, and I do think more than that, it's not only keeping them out of the end zone, it's not only limiting what they do in the way of gaining yards, but it's forcing turnovers. It's forcing plays, and I want to see that type of thing incorporated. When you get like a 6-sack game like they had last week, let's see a strip, you know, a sack, forced fumble, that kind of thing with Joe Flacco, who, by the way, is a quarterback who is not prone to error. That's not been that's not his signature thing, but we've seen it. I mean, we saw that horrendous turnover game he had at Buffalo.
Right,
five interceptions. It was not a pretty performance for him, even though the Ravens go and win that game. But overall, you look at where Flacco's game is right now, and as we were saying earlier, the struggles of him trying to overcome what he doesn't have. And we hear it time and again, missing Dennis Pitta has put a complete crimp in his style. So so be it. And it's, you know, we're certainly not feeling sorry for that, but that's been a big part of it.
He's got his worst interception percentage of his career, his worst quarterback rating of his career, his lowest touchdown percentage of his career, and he also has been sacked. He's on pace to be sacked the most times he's been sacked in his career. So clearly things are off there, and the fact that he's already rushed for 39 yards, I like that. It means he's having to run a little bit.
That's making that $120 million feel really good right now.
That's right.
That check. 216-578-0850. Doug in Ulrichsville is with us now. Hey, Doug.
Hey, how you doing, Vic?
Good, brother.
Hey, I know I'm a little off subject today, but on the draft, if we do win 4 or 5 games and finish 8-8, 9-7, do you have faith in Lombardi? I mean, he was here before. I didn't have much faith in him, but we always screw up drafting low. So if we maybe if we get the pick in the middle, maybe we'll do better.
I do have faith in Mike Lombardi and Joe Banner and the scouts and everybody associated with the personnel department, Ray Farmer as well. I think that they are, have been proven to be very astute. If you look at the guys they've brought in, Paul Kruger, Barkevious Mingo have played very, very well. You look at, you know, the trade of Trent Richardson, a great trade. They basically got a free first-round pick at this juncture. So, yes, I have some faith in them. I think that they are going to do what is necessary to be done in this draft. And they know this is a critical draft. This is a big, this is a career-defining type of a draft and a franchise-defining draft for these guys. So I have confidence in them, and I'm excited to see what they're able to do. But I'm more excited to see the Browns beat the Ravens this Sunday in the here and now.
It gets a little tiresome to hear the references of what was done years ago and putting a lot of this onus and saying, well, Michael Lombardi doesn't know his stuff based on that. It's a cliche. Let's talk about what's happened since his return to this team and in his current role as general manager. And what's happened has been mostly positive and good. What moves do you hate that he has made or been a part of? And by the way, when I say he, there's no singular guy here. It's a collective decision-making group that obviously Joe Banner, the CEO, is a part of with Michael Lombardi. We mentioned Ray Farmer. We mentioned this whole personnel staff. But in terms of bringing in people who have been difference makers for this team or at least have allowed this team to be where it is in contention with a chance to do something as of the start of this month, let's point to the quarterback who is going to start in this game. Having Jason Campbell available to you when you make that change and seeing a credible effort from him, I know it's only one game as a starter here, but you saw a major sea change at the position than what was previously there. And back it up to Brian Hoyer. I mean, those two areas alone, but to echo what Nathan just said about the defensive front, about Barkevious Mingo being part of this group, having Paul Kruger as a steady force, even if he hasn't been the most game-breaking kind of guy. I don't think that's ever what he was totally expected to be, despite the hefty price he carried in free agency. That's a function of free agency. And then you look at Desmond Bryant, and you look at those kinds of those fortifying moves, and let's see what a Fozzie Whitaker might be able to do. Let's just see that. You get some glimpses here and there of some good things, of positive things. So far, no, the Devon Best thing hasn't been anything to, it's been everything to be upset about, and you say, well, yeah, there's proof that they don't know what they're doing. No, that's not proof that they don't know what they're doing. You don't hit on everything, and maybe, I think for Bess's sake, there's enough time to see what he can do to turn it around, but he better turn it around in a hurry to kind of get it back if it's a crisis of confidence or whatever it might be. And by the way, they paid nothing for that guy, just for the record. They got him and put him in a key role, but paid nothing for him.
He's getting open.
He is getting open. How about get open and catch, as we remember him doing, yes, the guy that we used to see.
And if you watch that documentary on the NFL Network 1995 about that Browns organization of which Michael Lombardi was a part, they were building a winner. And if you don't remember, all you need to do is look at that team that lines up against the Cleveland Browns this Sunday and remember that was the organization that they helped build. And now it is time for the Browns to put their stamp on that matchup and take care of business at First Energy Stadium this Sunday.
Gerard Cherry's going to join us next. We'll get into Gerard's thoughts on this game against the Baltimore Ravens. We'll get into more of your barks from the pound. 216-578-0850. Tweets, Browns_daily. Love hearing from you. On a Call Your Shot Friday, ESPN 850 WKNR. Legend of the Phoenix. All ends with beginning.